Please join me in our prayer for understanding of God's Word. Astonishing God, send your Holy Spirit upon us as we await the coming of your Son. Fill us with good things that we may conceive your reign on earth and glorify you according to your Word. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The reading of God's Word today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother Howard. He does a wonderful job in helping to lead worship. Thank you, my friend. Excellent job. Join with me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for speaking, for continuing to speak, and also speaking into our lives. Not just words that float around, but words that give us hope, your people. Remind us that you love us. It's in the name of the greatest love, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Very thankful once again for beautiful music. But as I was listening to our sister in Christ sing one of my favorite pieces for this season, one line stuck in my head. Does it say something about ornery people in there? Go ahead and look at somebody right now. If you need to pull the beard and get him over there, that's okay, that's fine. Get his attention. Look him right in the eyes and say, "You're ornery, but God still loves you." That is my early Christmas gift right now to all of you. I think that's fantastic. That's wonderful. See what I was saying? You listen to these particular selections of music, and they really speak to you, even if it's about being ornery. There was something I wanted to share also that we sang. "And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing." It's from a carol. Now, why that struck me is because it doesn't necessarily seem real Christmassy. You know what I mean whenever I say Christmassy? Christmassy. Lights. Bulbs shining, bright, packages, tinsel. Does anybody, do they even sell the tinsel that you pull out and you throw on the tree anymore? Do they do that? Do they? I saw that. I saw a movie Judy and I were watching. It was Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. It's a highly theological movie. And you know, they were throwing up the tinsel, and it was tinsel all over. And Judy said, I don't even see that anymore. But I remember growing up, we would do that, and then you got to take it off, right? Unless you just put a bag over the whole thing and put it up in the attic. So my dad would, you know, make sure we had every single piece off of the tree. But Christmassy, those kind of shiny, bright things that put us in the mood. Well, let me share something with you. Christmas is not about what we do. Christmas is about how God is speaking into our lives and we respond to that grace. Okay? It's about what God is doing, then how we respond to that. Let me read a statement from last week. Not that I don't think you were paying attention or anything, but this is from my sermon last week. As Flannery O'Connor once wrote to a friend, you might remember this, all human nature vigorously resists grace because grace changes us and the change is painful. When God speaks into our lives and works in our lives, change happens. Things change. And sometimes it pulls us out of a comfort zone. Sometimes it stretches us. Sometimes we grow in certain ways that we never felt possible. Sometimes we're working with someone, being with someone, spending time with someone that we never thought we would spend time with. Sometimes we're even in a place that we would never thought we would find ourselves. So grace, which is what Christmas is all about, really, does change us. And Mary is a phenomenal example of how to respond to God's grace. I don't have a high Mariology. Mariology is one of those seminary words that talk about your theology or your beliefs, spiritual beliefs about a particular individual or part of the Bible. So it's not like you're going to come to the pastor's house and see a picture of Mary with a halo around her. Because in Mary, I see a wonderful, powerful, strong example and response to God's surprising grace by someone who never expected it. Okay? Mary couldn't have expected it. She was poor. She was young. She was in a backwater part of the world that nobody thought anything good happened in. And yet, God spoke, God created, and there was a wonderful message for her. For her, specifically. Put yourself in her shoes. Are you kidding me, Gabriel? Let's be honest here. I'm going to do what? And yet, her actions spoke of a humbleness before God and a willing to at least trust and follow. There's that phrase from Scripture that I think is wonderful and holy, but it's four words that we could say right today to certain situations in our lives, or maybe we have said to certain circumstances, or whenever we really felt like we were up against it. How can this be? Saying those words whenever we hear news from a medical test. Saying those words whenever we hear of a death. Saying those words whenever the challenges in our lives just seem to be such a weight, we wonder if God's paying attention. How can this be? Mary articulately offers a wonderful response verbally, and yet offers another response with her entire life. Later on, whenever she says in the last verse of this reading, verse 38, "Here I am, Lord, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." Now, what the angel has just talked to her about is pretty life-changing, pretty world-changing, pretty creation-changing, everything. And yet she responds with those words, "Here I am." And it struck me as I read them once again in preparation for this morning. You know, we understand from what took place here that God works in all lives. We might think that we have kind of an unassuming life in an out-of-the-way place, and that isolates us from God at work. You know, in the history of the church, regretfully, that kind of theology has been communicated, that God only worked in the huge cathedrals, in the magnificent houses of worship. That's where God resided. But we know better, don't we? Because God is everywhere. And in all times, and in all places. The other thing that means is you can't hide from God. Now, maybe I should have said that looking over my glasses, making more of an impact. But that's a good thing, because you don't have to hide from God. Mary certainly was puzzled at first by God speaking into her life. And maybe we're puzzled also. And we think, well, we're not good enough. How could God want to use me? Why would God want to use me? I don't have the gifts and talents and graces to be used by God. Well, once again, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Therefore, whenever He calls you, guess what? He's already at work in you, whether you like it or not. That's a joy. That's grace. Nothing is impossible with God, the angel says. Yeah, but some things seem to really challenge us. Whenever we hear of school children being murdered in Pakistan, whenever we hear of young girls being kidnapped in Kenya, whenever there's violence and shootings, when a mother would kill her own children in Australia, first of all, how can this be? Is a response that we give thinking, how in the world could this happen? Well, these things all remind us of the need for God's grace now more than ever. And since we are recipients of grace, we, right here, each and every one of us here, since we are recipients of God's grace, we are called, therefore, to be completely open and vulnerable to God and how God is working in us. Because if we simply throw up our hands and say, you know what, The world's going to hell in a handbasket. I did say hell, but that's biblical. If we simply say that, then the message of Christmas has been lost. Because the message of Christmas is not in the Christmassy things. The message of Christmas is in the muck and mire that hope exists no matter what happens. Hope, preparation, joy, and love are the candles that we've lit on this Advent wreath. Hope, preparation, joy, and love. Those are not things simply communicated in Christmas cards. Those are things that are at the very core. Those are things that are actually at work and present at the darkest places in our lives as well, just as they are at work in the darkest places around the world. Do I have a ready explanation for some of the things that are taking place all over the world? No, absolutely. And I never will. But I will remind you that God never stops working. And there are so many other inbreakings and pouring outs of God's grace. What a wonderful joy it is for us to know that in a very dark place, in a very dark time, whenever brutality was the norm, and people were wondering if God was still at work, a baby was born. And of all places, a backwater place in a cave to a young girl. That changed everything. It was a remarkable story back then. How can this be? It's a remarkable story today. And God works in those kinds of surprising ways even today. You know, there's a story of a Christmas pageant that was being rehearsed for. And a man was home with his children, and it was in the afternoon, and I think it was probably on a Saturday, because what was he watching on the TV? That's amazing that that was one of the stronger responses that I've gotten all morning. Football. Football. He was watching football. Yeah. And he was reclining on the couch. You know what I was talking about, being in that reclining chair and just kind of being really comfortable. His kids came into the room. Dad, we have a play to put on. Do you want to see it? He didn't really want to. He didn't want to see this play. But he sat up and, yeah, he was a one-man audience. So his four children, 4, 6, 8, and 10 years old, were the actors. Mary, of course, Joseph, and the wise men. Joseph came in with a mop handle. Not sure why he was carrying a mop handle. Mary came in with a pillowcase under her pajamas. Another child was an angel. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Flapping her wings. Finally, the last child came in and came out with all of the jewelry that they could find in the house. Okay, imagine that. Around the neck, over the hands, carrying it, all the jewelry. Her arms were filled also with 3 presents. And she said, "I'm all the wise men. I bring 3 precious gifts. Gold, circumstance, and mud." The father didn't correct the wise man. The father reflected on how the word of grace came to him in a very surprising way. God loves us for who we are, our gold. Where we are at our best, our circumstances, and where we might be even now, even our mud. Where we are when we are most human. God speaks to save, to bless, to be merciful, to be reverent, to be strong, to be holy, to heal, to strengthen us. As God spoke to Mary, God speaks to each of us. What is God saying to you this Christmas? How is God speaking into your life? God will always speak in ways of grace, in ways of hope, in ways of joy, in ways of love. There's a brother and sister in Christ who are responding to God speaking in their lives this Christmas. And at this time, I ask my brother Van Kelly and my sister Darlene Kelly to come forward as they join our faith community this morning. It's a blessing to have them here. And it's a joy as both of you come forward responding to God speaking to you this Christmas. And as God speaks to you both this Christmas and says, I'm at work in your life. I've given you salvation through Jesus. My grace is washing over you. And I ask you also to be part of this faith community. As God speaks all of those things to you, is your response, yes, God, we will follow?
Yes, God.
Amen. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to have both of you here. Van, congratulations. I told you I wouldn't make you stand up here too long, so we're about done. And Darlene, congratulations. What a wonderful blessing. Let's go ahead and celebrate God at work in their lives. Thank you. Thank you so much.